painted green, aha, me boys. Lukey's boat is painted green, the prettiest boat you ever seen, aha.
Welcome to KPTZ's monthly magazine, Our Working Waterfront. This is Chris Bricker, along with co-hosts, Port Commissioner Pam Petranek, and Port of Port Townsend's Executive Director, Aaron Berg. Pam is a sailing captain and has been a teacher, as well as a longtime advocate for Jefferson County Marine Trades and for a sustainable port. Aaron Berg's career has included positions as a city supervisor and city attorney of Cedro Woolley and as an attorney with the Cascade Law Center. He's been in and around boats his entire life. Hello again to Aaron and Pam. Welcome.
Hello, Chris.
Good to be here.
You know, it's always good, I think, on our news magazine here to give an update about what's been happening over the past month, sort of a recap of anything that we need to remind our listeners about. Aaron, you want to take that?
Well, it feels like we've been sprinting our way through a marathon here at the Port of Port Townsend with just a whole lot of activity. This is budget season for the port, like most local governments. So we presented the commission with a first draft budget, and they'll see a second draft budget Wednesday on October 14th. The first public hearing on budget, property taxes, IDD levy, and rates will be on October 28th, with a second public hearing and possible adoption on November 10th, and note that that is a Tuesday because of the holiday on November 11th. So a budget's been a big part of our work this time of the year. We've also been busy operationally filling up the boatyard with work for the fall and winter season. And we've continued to put quite a lot of time and energy into the Point Hudson plan and the jetty project in particular.
That's something we want to talk about a little bit later on, kind of flesh that out a little bit.
I wanted to add for our schedule over the next month or two, we're also updating our comprehensive scheme of harbor improvements, which is a capital needs plan for the next 20 years. So we've got our five-year plan as well as our next 20-year plan that we're simultaneously doing. In that comp scheme, the last time it was updated was 7 years ago. We're updating it for potential grant eligibility for a couple of boat ramps and some other things.
That was through the Washington State Recreation and Conservation Office, if I'm understanding it right. And part of the need to update was because of that, right?
Yeah, we have a boat ramp in Gardner in high need of repair, as well as the Matz launch ramp.
So the deliberation and adaptation to the scheme, is that all going to happen on the 14th?
Yes.
That's the second review of our comp scheme. And even though it's an estimated 20-year plan, we actually update it as part of our annual process. So annually, we look at it. There's an annual budget is a compendium updating it kind of automatically.
So, Aaron, what else is happening here budget-wise, or what are some of the other things that we may have overlooked in our recap of the month?
Well, besides sinking boats and crashing aircraft, it really has been a busy month at the port. But budget's maybe the biggest item from a community standpoint. The budget really reflects the commission's priorities for the following year, and this budget has a fairly aggressive five-year capital plan attached to it and includes recommendations to the commission about funding levels, including, for example, the Industrial Development District levy. So that may be something worth discussing in more detail at some point.
I can tell you about some of the projects we have coming up.
All right.
That is part of that plan. And I won't go through 5 years. I'll just go through major highlights of the next couple of years of those capital plans. For example, in Quilcene, we're looking at doing a community-based planning process for what folks would like to have there. We've got some money in the budget for that planning process, as well as engineering and implementing a plan, as well as some marina dock repairs. And then in the budget next couple of years are that Matz launch ramp, as well as the Gardner launch ramp, and Point Hudson, of course, the jetty. And then We're looking at trying to put a new roof on one building a year right here in Point Hudson where we're sitting. And then Boat Haven, a large part of our budget goes towards the work in shipyard resurfacing. Every couple of years, the whole yard needs major resurfacing. If you've been down there lately, the whole thing has been resurfaced. It's super smooth. They take up the old gravel, put down new gravel, which cleans up things for the stormwater. Down in Boat Haven, we've got dock renovations going on, piling replacements, taking those creosote pilings out, putting steel pilings in. A major concern is the end of the main breakwater in Boat Haven. So we're looking at permitting and fixing that. Work and shipyard electrical upgrades, and then taking each of those Sperry buildings, those blue metal-sided buildings that everybody sees, and looking at doing some outside maintenance on two of those a year, as well as the airport, and we've got runway rehab going on and fuel tank replacement, hopefully with some insurance helping, and then the airport pilot's lounge to be built. That's an overview.
And you know, when you consider 5 years, that goes by pretty quickly. I don't know. It seems like when I was a kid, 5 years is a long time, but now it seems like a very short amount of time to me.
That was just what we hope to accomplish in the next 2 out of 5 years. But we have an incredible maintenance team. So just really want to celebrate our maintenance team of 5 people led by Chris Sparks. And then we have a newly added part-time position of a capital projects engineer, which is necessary to help coordinate and do a lot of the detailing out of all of these projects so the maintenance team can get to work.
Well, I have a couple of questions, Aaron, about Point Hudson, Aaron and Pam. The resubmission of the grant to the Economic Development Administration has to do with the amount of money originally requested and the difference. The EDA came back to you saying that they would be willing to reconsider a new proposal for less money. How is that all working out? What is the plan for taking care of the shortfall between your estimate and what they are saying they can give you or they might be able to give you?
So the Point Hudson Jetty project is about a $14.1 million construction project. So the port is funding the design phase work currently, primarily using Industrial Development District levy dollars. And we had applied for an 80% grant through the EDA based upon the winter storms of 2018. And the federal disaster declaration in 2019. And you're correct, EDA went through their pretty exhaustive review process and got to the finish line and said, we don't have that much money, but we would be open to reconsidering at a lower level at about $9.3 million. So the Port Commission met this week at a special meeting and approved resubmission or a higher local match commitment. And that has been sent back to EDA. So we have our fingers crossed that the second go around at the $9.3 million level will fit their program budget and will be successful. So that leaves us with just about $4.7 million in local match. And you'll see in the draft 2021 budget in the 5-year capital plan, there's almost $3 million, a little less than that, about $2.6 million built into the budget for Point Hudson Jetty. And if the commissioners adopt the staff recommendation on the IDD levy, there's room to expand that amount to about $3 million. So I think the intent would be to fund that full local match using optimistically about $3 million or so of local IDD levy proceeds, and then seek support from the state legislature, likely through the capital budget, for the other about $2 million. If we were unsuccessful at the capital budget, then the Port Commission would have at least a few different options, primarily options including spending more IDD levy money, or if they had to, something that I would not recommend and I'm not excited about, you know, potentially bonding and borrowing dollars for a longer period for that last gap. But I think we have the capacity, thanks to the strong support of the voters and property taxpayers in Jefferson County, to maintain and improve our infrastructure with that IDD levy fund. And that's something the commissioners ultimately will get to decide.
Does Aaron get to talk about his walkabout, Point Hudson guest?
I'm here with Pam looking out from the marina room, looking over the marina. Before this meeting, Representative Theringer and I took a walk about Point Hudson to kind of look at project needs. So our efforts to educate and advocate for funding for the port have definitely begun. I think we're fortunate to have a strong delegation for the 24th Legislative District, and I think they'll do everything they can to help us in this upcoming session.
Well, that's really good to know, and thanks for your efforts in reaching out, both of you. All of the commissioners and you, Aaron, for reaching out, making that happen. Well, we want to remind our listeners that we're speaking with Aaron Berg, who is the Executive Director of the Port of Port Townsend, and Pam Petronic, who is one of our three commissioners. I read briefly about, a couple of things, one of which, it's kind of interesting to me that there's been some discoveries, sea life discoveries that may be environmentally sensitive, and I was wondering if you could speak to any of that about sea life attached to the jetty.
Yeah, so no, we've talked to the Marine Science Center, and I think my understanding is that it wasn't so much rare species as species that are of great interest to divers to go down and see, including octopus and other creatures. My understanding, though, is once we begin to mobilize, this becomes a pretty unhospitable place in terms of noise and vibration, and most of those creatures hit the road. But the Marine Science Center has indicated, they're licensed and willing to do a recon and potentially physically relocate creatures that need to be relocated. Our project, I think, as you know, entirely demolishes the existing structures. So there's no way to work around an octopus den or anything like that. We'll need the octopus to move and then come back after it's built.
The other question I had was, there's a proposal, and this is probably going to elicit a considerable amount of discussion, and that is the Jamestown Sklallam's proposal to install a commercial aquaculture operation at Point Hudson, namely a floating upweller system. And for our listeners, it may not be familiar with that terminology, a floating upweller system. What does it all mean, and what exactly are they proposing?
Yeah, well, so the Jamestown Sklallam tribe had a group that made a presentation at the last commissioner meeting. That recording is available on the port's website for anybody who's interested and wasn't able to watch it. The idea was to install the floating upweller system, also known as a flupsy. And I have to apologize, I'm not good with the directions here yet. So I'm going to look to Pam. That way is going to be north.
Yes.
Excellent. I'm getting there. At the north end of the marina, essentially between the two ramps, the float and the shore, the flupsy is approximately a 20 by 80 foot floating structure that includes baskets where oyster spat are grown. And the baskets are screened at the bottom, and they include a pump that moves water through a channel that runs between the baskets, essentially drawing water up from the marina through the baskets out the top and then just back into the marina. So the spat eat the algae that exists in the marina. And of course, I'm not a shellfish biologist. So those of you listening who know what oyster spat really eat, forgive me. But they're not fed anything other than what's in the waters of the marina. And they live in this flupsy from the period of time when they're about the size, diameter of a pencil eraser until they're something closer to a diameter of a nickel or even a quarter, at which point they're moved out to tidelands, I think mostly here in Washington, but to some extent potentially in other states. Separate from the flupsy, the tribe has also expressed an interest in locating a oyster bar, restaurant, and small retail seafood market in the upland portion, actually where Pygmy Kayaks used to be located here at Point Hudson, orienting both as an opportunity to tell the tribe's story, both historically and culturally today, and showcase their aquaculture program. So that was what was presented. Process-wise, we don't have another meeting scheduled yet, but there will be an opportunity for the public to attend a port commission meeting and provide comments and thoughts to the commissioners course, people are welcome to do that at any time, including right now, with emails and comments to commissioners. And if there are questions, the port is collecting questions from folks who are interested in this project, and we're capturing those on a Q&A, which is on our website. So send a question to me. It can be Aaron, E-R-O-N, at portofpt.com, and we'll capture that question, get an answer, and post it as part of a list of questions and answers that are available for all to see. Separately from any port process, which is really something the port does in an entrepreneurial engagement as a property owner, a FLUPC would require permitting from the City of Port Townsend and also from the United States Army Corps of Engineers, and there would be separate processes for any permitting. So lots of opportunities to engage, but the threshold question of whether this is something the port should do is one that the commissioners will make, and there will be an opportunity to comment before that happens. Yeah, for sure. And if somebody's interested to see a FLUPC in operation, the Jamestown Sklallam Tribe has four FLUPCs currently operating at John Wayne Marina in Squim. What they're proposing here would be essentially 1/4 of what's currently operating within that marina. But there certainly is an opportunity to take a visit. I've been to the FLUPC, I think, 4 times, and each of the port commissioners has had an opportunity to take a tour and just put their own eyes on what it looks like and how it works. And I would encourage people to do that.
Well, great. Well, listen, Aaron, anything we might have missed for the month that you would want to cap off with? I mean, where do you start? Where do you end, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I think it probably is important to say something about the airport. I think, as you know, and we've talked about in the past, we completed a major paving project at the airport this year, paving runway 27 and 9. And there were some corrections that needed to be made. They were scheduled to happen in September. Ultimately, we determined that the corrective actions weren't going to address the underlying problem. And we are now working with the contractor on a more substantive fix, specifically imagining a pre-level and repaving, so a whole new overlay of the entire runway and taxiway connectors. So pretty significant. At this point, we're thinking that may happen in about 2 weeks, but this is a rough time of year to be planning paving projects. We need, I think what we need is to have the temperature at 46 degrees and rising, and no precipitation, and we need that for about 4 days. So, you know, stay tuned, but our intent and our effort is we're doing everything we can to get that project buttoned up before the winter turns to full-on, the weather turns into full-on winter.
That's right. Here comes the winter.
I get to tell a story.
You get to tell a story. So, Pam,
October is the time of year where our boatyard starts filling up. So we've got special yard rates. If you haul your boat out for a month, it's half price. And that goes through the end of March. So October through the end of March is really the marine trade's full-on busy season. Those boats are coming back from Alaska, hauling out, doing their regular maintenance. All the cruisers are coming in. So very busy in the boatyard. And I wanted to highlight some of our marine trades workers on the cover of Professional Boat Builder magazine. The October-November issue highlights two tailgaters from Port Townsend, and that's independent yacht finishers Joni Blanchard and Diane Salguero. And there's a huge article where they share their thoughts, their tricks, and their techniques, and why they still love their work after all these years. And it's by a editor of Professional Boat Builder who comes up here every month and just kind of surfs the boatyard for stories. I'll quote a couple things from Joni in that article. I worked with a shipwright, Brian Hayes, for 7 years, waitressed on the side. I met everybody, which is how I fell into the job. I never meant to become a boat finisher. It evolved, made good money, loved people and their boats. I can mind my own business. I'm not fit for a 9-to-5 job. And then she also does craft work with rope and leather, has written a book called Tricks, Cheating, and Shingaderos, which is an insightful guide to painting and varnishing boats, of which I have had that book right beside me when I've been doing that kind of work. And then Diane, single mother of two adult sons now in their 20s. She's a PT native, and she became a yacht finisher to establish a career that offered a living wage and the flexibility to raise her two boys. She usually works alone, but over the years, she has and is mentoring and employing many young men as helpers, like Connor Mackey right now, 17 years old. He's a local high school student. And she teaches her apprentices, along with finishing skills, she teaches them professional conduct and a solid work ethic. That's a couple boatyard stories, a couple leadership awards for our Jefferson County Rising Entrepreneurs of the Year, a business called Revision Marine, co-owners Matt Mortensen and Chris Brignoli. And they have decades of experience as marine electricians, boat builders, and are excited about new energy technologies and how they can enhance both the efficiency and fun of being on the water. And then last, and hard to talk about, but we have a passport commissioner who passed away. His name is Leif Erickson, 69 years old, and he passed away on the last day of summer, September 22nd. And he was a marine trades business owner in Boat Haven for decades. He was a brilliant boat mechanic. He was a port commissioner from 2010 till the end of 2013. And then he became chair of the Port Townsend Marine Trades Association and led that until I took the reins on the, and a few other people on the Port Townsend Marine Trades Association. So those are some marine trades updates and highlights.
Well, thank you, Pam. Our heart goes out to Leif's relations and family. And and thank you so much for bringing it up and reminding us about about him and his work. Well, until next time, we want to thank Aaron Berg, Executive Director of the Port of Port Townsend, and Pam Petronic, Port Commissioner, for our monthly update called Our Working Waterfront. And we shall speak next month, same time, same place.
Great, Chris.
Well, you never know where you'll speak to us. We move all around port properties.
That's true enough. I have to stay anchored at this particular microphone. That's why they call me an anchor, I guess. I don't know. Not to make a pun or anything, you know. But
good one.
Oh, God.
Well, maybe the weather will be favorable and we'll be at the port beach at Fort Worden next month. Or who knows? We could be in Quilstein.
You never know. Stay tuned, folks. All right. Thanks.
Thanks, Chris.
All right. We'll talk to you in a month. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Our theme music, Lukey's Boat, with Mark Hiscock, Mike Moran, Chris Andrews, and Mike Kinsella, from the album Songs of the Sea on Avondale Records.